I'm Kenneth Wilson, your county administrator and host of Talk of the County. I'm excited this afternoon to be here at Huntington Park with the Columbus Clippers president and general manager, Ken Schnocke, and assistant general manager, Mark Lester. Gentlemen, how much excitement there is around finally having baseball in Huntington Park. Spring training is over, and the players are, where are the players right now?
The players right now landed in St. Paul, Minneapolis, a couple of hours ago. We're supposed to open the season there tomorrow night, but they had 10 and a half inches of snow earlier in the week, so we're not sure if we're going to get to play tomorrow night or not. That's still to be determined. So we're there for the weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We'll travel home Sunday night and then open the 16th season of Huntington Park on Tuesday, April the 2nd.
Wow, 16 seasons already. I can remember just standing in a parking lot on a hot day.
Really hot day. That was a hot August night.
Yeah, really hot. That was a hot day. I mean, I was in a suit, as I always am, and I wanted to break out of it that day. So it's amazing that we are in our 16th year. And I'm biased, but it's the greatest ballpark that I know of anywhere. And this, the Columbus Clippers have to be the oldest operating professional franchise in Columbus. Definitely not the new kid on the block.
Well, no, we're not. But the Ohio State Buckeyes have been around a long time too.
I said professional.
Professional.
Though. You're okay. The oldest professional franchise around.
Not only are we professional,
you're not the new kids on the block.
Back in the 1880s, Columbus was actually a major league city for a small period of time.
And what's even cooler is the fact that we have an affiliation with the Cleveland Guardians. So it's that whole OHIO all the way around, that connection there. And one of the things I love most about Huntington Park, it is with our theme of every resident, every day. Huntington Park belongs to the people, and it's very family-oriented. So I think that that's something that we all are proud of.
Our charge is to be affordable, wholesome family entertainment. And one of the great things that we talk about, this is the 48th year of the Clippers, my 48th year with the Clippers. When we started in 1977, a general admission ticket was $5. 48 years later, it's all the way up to $8. Now that is well below inflation.
You fought inflation like no one's business. And we also have Dime a Dog Night. How old is Dime a Dog Night? You know, I think, you know, I hear of other businesses that brag about keeping prices down, but to still sell a hot dog for a dime.
Actually, it started out as 10 cent hot dog night. You weren't even there then.
Nope.
About our second year, and over time it became Dime a Dog Night. We've actually have trademarked that. And there was a period of time, probably in the mid to late 80s, where I was getting concerned about a Dime a Dog Night. So I tried to go to a 2-bit dog night, you know, the old 2-bit, 4-bit, 6-bits a dollar. I thought I was going to get run out of town. So we went directly back to 10 cent hot dogs and stayed there forevermore.
I'm glad it's trademarked. Speak to tenure. We talk about, you know, in professional sports, teams leave cities, general managers come and go, team presidents come and go. Teams are bought and sold every day. But what's special about Huntington Park is that Huntington Park is an asset of the taxpayers of Franklin County. And you've been here, as you stated, almost 5 decades. How did it start?
It sounds longer when you say it like that.
How did it start?
How did it start? Well, way back when I graduated from Ohio Northern University in mechanical engineering, and they brought me to Columbus in 1973, I think, when they created the Ohio EPA. So being an engineer, I was in charge of air pollution control for for the state of Ohio. Worked on what's the old Seneca Hotel on West Broad Street. East Broad Street, I'm sorry. Had that job. It was a pretty good job. Had about 20-some engineers in a secretarial pool. We would go around trying to help companies solve air pollution problems. The problem we had is the US EPA was created ahead of us, and their goal was to solve 200 years of air pollution in 200 days. That really didn't make a lot of sense. Spent most of my time in court trying to fight for the permits that we were writing. And Dave Millenthal, a very important man in Columbus, was our PR guy at that time, representing us and trying to keep us out of trouble. So I just didn't want to stay in engineering, and I had an opportunity to move to Texas and get into baseball. And that was the year they started this movement to bring baseball back to Columbus, because as Harold Cooper wound up his tenure as general manager of the old Columbus Jets, the stadium on Mound Street was deteriorating. And finally, the Pittsburgh Pirates packed up and moved their team out of Columbus because there was no provision for fixing up the stadium and modernizing it. So as you know, Harold became a Franklin County commissioner at that point in time with Mike Dorian and Bob Southwick. And this movement gathered over 85,000 signatures of people who wanted baseball back. Baseball had left Columbus after the 1970 season. So in 1975, the commissioners united and they declared eminent domain on the old ballpark on West Mound Street, which really almost became the Coda Bus Depot that's now on Harmon Avenue.
Oh, wow.
So the commissioners stepped in and did that, and they started refurbishing the ballpark to create the Columbus Clippers, and you know, we opened our doors in 1977. So Harold Cooper and the other two had a lot to do with it, and they hired George Sisler to be the general manager. And that first year, there were four of us in the office, and I was the little kid on the totem pole. I'd been the last guy hired, but 48 years later, I'm the only guy standing. So I guess some things do work out.
How many? How does your tenure compare to other executives in AAA baseball?
I'm the longest. The next one is Don Logan of Las Vegas. He's starting his 41st year, and he wants to know if he's going to catch me or not.
I bet they a lot of these general managers call you for advice on what to do.
No.
They don't. They feel they know it.
All these young people today, they think they know the score the minute they get out of college and into business. You've got to see that in your business.
Yeah, but I always set them straight. Try to set them straight.
See, I do too, so now they just don't ask me anymore, so they can go their own way.
Mark, talk about your tenure here with the Columbus Clippers. When did it start? How did you didn't just walk in the door as assistant general manager, did you?
No, I'm just a baby at this. It's only been about 30 years, so I'm a young buck compared to Ken. but, you know, I started, my backstory, I guess, as Ken shared his, is I was at Ohio State, and I was a computer science major. And I was sitting in class one day, and I didn't understand what the professor was talking about, and I really didn't care. And I knew I was in the wrong place. And I had heard about this sports management industry, and said, wow, that's a job? You get paid for that? That sounds like me. And especially when you're a terrible baseball player, that you can still be part of the game in a different way. So I switched that day and became a business major and got my master's in sports management. And was fortunate enough to catch on as an intern, as a lot of our staff did. That was back in 92. And I was hired when a gentleman named Rob Butcher, who just retired from the Reds, when he left, that opening was the opening for me to come in. And aside from a year when I got out of the business and tried something else, I've been rolling since.
Great. Let's talk about change. How much has baseball operations changed, Ken, during your tenure? How many uniforms have the Clippers had that
you did? I don't know. That number probably is somewhere between 50 and 75. I don't like a lot of change in uniforms, and we are one of the few teams that really has not changed our logo to any significant point. I think the Clippership and the Clipper logo is a wonderful logo because I think fans of all ages can wear it with pride. You know, there's some teams, it's a little too childish, it's a little too cartoonish. It might look good on the kids, but some of the parents aren't so enthralled as wearing that logo. I take a lot of pride in our logo. And actually, the first logo was designed by Rick Mock, a local artist who did that for us. And he's helped us with some of the small modifications that we've made over the years. The game has really changed. I mean, you know, the athletes keep getting better and bigger and stronger, and now the world of analytics has hit us all, and it's not the same game it was 20 or 30 years ago. So much more goes into it with the hitters and the pitchers studying charts and tendencies, and you know, where a hitter has a red zone where he can power hit the baseball and where he's not so effective, and what a pitcher can do to attack that and vice versa, what a hitter looks like when he's facing a certain pitcher and the pitcher's tendencies. So the game, like I said, has changed. There's a lot more analytics involved in studying what they think might happen. But that gets a little compounded because these are people playing the game. Mm-hmm. And they're not robots, so they can't perform at the same level every day. Just because you see on a chart where they should be able to throw the baseball doesn't mean that they can do that repetitively in a game. So the game itself has indeed changed. There's less players than there were many, many years ago. So these kids, as they come up the line, they don't get as many repetition. Mm-hmm. Baseball's a game of repetition, mm-hmm. just like some of our jobs are. You know, the more we do the things in our job, the better we get. You can start to take shortcuts. You can start to expand your role. Baseball is like that, a game of repetitions. And because there's fewer players, these players are advancing up the line before they're really ready. And you see that with some of the mistakes you see every night when you watch a baseball game. Even at the big league level, it's happening.
There's been a push to speed up the game, haven't it? Is the pitch clock still going to be used this upcoming season?
Yeah. Yeah, it will. We've actually had it, this is 4 years now. We've become, I guess AAA is and the minor leagues have become a little bit of an experimental area for some of these rule changes. So we had the pitch clocks before they were introduced to the big leagues, but they're here to stay. And when they were introduced in the big leagues last year, I told a lot of people, I said, that traditionalists that hated the thought of a clock in baseball. It's like the one sport that didn't have a clock. They were dead set against it. And I told them, I said, you're gonna like this. Because the game's going to flow at a little better pace and not change the way the game is played at all. And I think that's, for the most part, held true. Some guys couldn't adjust very well to it, but it's here and here to stay.
I'm going to go totally in a different direction. What's Lucille and Crash's legacy here at the ballpark? How long have Lucille and Crash been hanging out? In entertaining fans.
Yeah, they've been hanging out for a while. You know, and now that you mention it, I'm not sure I've ever seen you and Lucille in the room at the same time. Are you one of the mascots?
I might be. I don't know. I'm on other duties as a sign. Who knows?
Okay. Actually, our first mascot was Captain Clipper. And Captain Clipper ended up looking a little too much like Captain Crunch on the cereal box.
Oh, my God.
And actually scared some kids.
Like, oh, yeah, that's trauma. That's childhood trauma.
We sent Captain Clipper on a vacation to a deserted island, kind of like that old sitcom on TV. So he never came back. So we replaced him with Crash and Lucille. It's nice to have two mascots because we can have action on top of both dugouts and get both sides of the ballpark energized while they're cheering during the game. It allows us to cover twice as many appearances going to schools and parades and things. So it's been a good addition.
Kids love Lucille and Crash. Definitely, I haven't seen kids be afraid of them. How does Lucille and Crash feel about the hot dog race? When the hot dog, does the hot dog have a name? I should know this.
Oh, yeah. Ricky Relish, Kelly Ketchup, and Mickey Mustard.
Ricky Relish, I like that.
Kelly Ketchup.
Kelly Ketchup.
And Mickey Mustard. So they do have names, and I think Lucille and Crash are pretty happy to take that half inning off.
You heard that, Franklin County. We got three hot dog names, not one, three.
They all have their own line of t-shirts.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to skip ahead. Let's talk about marketing now. You know, baseball is entertainment, so let's talk about marketing here. What's the future of marketing for the Columbus Clippers? What's new that you can let the listeners of Talk of the County find out first on this podcast?
Well, marketing once again is somewhat of a repetitive game, and it's a little bit like a team slogan. Those of us that create it, you get tired of it. But by the time we're getting tired of it, sometimes it's just resonating with the majority of the fans. So over time, we have developed a system where we have something planned for every day of the week. For example, Tuesday, Dime a Dog Night. Wednesday, we salute the military and the first responders with a ticket deal. Thursdays are Thirsty Thursdays. Friday, we have $5 Fridays, which also includes a $5 Pepsi and Donato's Pizza. Saturday, and Mark will talk to this, a lot of the specials with special guests. And then Sunday, family days, where the entire family is admitted for a flat amount. Those are the things that we set as the bottom of our pyramid. And then on top of that, we add all the other things that come along, and I'll let Mark talk to some
like
of those.
Like fireworks. Fireworks are popular.
Fireworks, still very popular. Marvel night, we do a Marvel night. We actually have a Marvel Clippers, they call it a Marvelized logo in Jersey, that a Marvel designer created that logo. Star Wars night, always popular, which is wild to me because I saw the first one in the theater. But kids still love Star Wars. Yeah, and we do things where, you know, themed to, you know, TV sitcoms, like we've had actors from The Office, we've had actors from Seinfeld, from movies. This year, Corbin Burnson, if you're a Major League fan, will be here. You know, an opportunity for people to maybe meet someone that they wouldn't have had if we didn't provide it. So and there's a lot of kids' promotions, Princess and Pirates Night, the Star Wars night, the Marvel nights, and try to do something for everybody. And it's, these are the things we're known for. And we try to add new things. And you know, this year, Harry Potter night for the first time, we're doing, and a special jersey we'll wear for that. And try to add new things every year, but keep the things that people really enjoy in place as best we can.
You know, you brought up marketing. We have not stopped for a commercial break. Have you not gone out and sold?
I was going to get to that next, Mr. Snocky. I was going to say to the listeners of this podcast that Clippers gear is online, and I'm looking in the background at a real nice selection of hats, and everyone likes a nice crisp hat, a classic navy blue with the red trim. So, podcast listeners, go online to the Clippers Pro Shop. What's the website for the Pro Shop?
Go to ClippersBaseball.com and you'll get there.
ClippersBaseball.com. Buy some nice gear. 70 uniform changes probably over 40 some odd years, but the Clippers have maintained a classic look. So anything you find will look good on you.
That was good. That was really good.
Yeah. I mean, hey, it's the people's team. We want them to wear some gear out there, you know, because the Clippers are, you know, the franchise in Franklin County. We're the, you're not the new kids on the block. Like I said, you've been around.
Been around for a long time.
Been around. And there's something to be said about longevity. It's like classical music. You gotta get credit where credit's due. Also, this ballpark has been named by publication best ballpark of the year. With that being said, we all love Huntington Park. Is there anything, Ken, you miss about Cooper Stadium from a nostalgia standpoint or some asset of it? Do you miss the shag carpet? What do you miss?
Well, we had shag carpet, as you put it, for the first 22 years, but the last 10 years we actually had grass. So we had made the changeover. I never thought that Huntington Park would come along in my lifetime, let alone my tenure. I mean, we kept trying to take Cooper Stadium. My goal back then was to try to make it the Wrigley Field of minor league baseball. But what happened in the city of Columbus is you got to the point where they spent hundreds of millions of dollars on redoing the football stadium. They built the Schottenstein Center to replace St. John. They built the first Crew Stadium at the fairgrounds, and they built Nationwide Arena. And when all those things happened, we couldn't keep up with the Joneses. We couldn't make enough changes on Mound Street to kind of combat that and be a player in that area. So we were losing ground. And then I was actually in the middle of a design of redoing all the suites at Cooper Stadium when the subject came up about the Clippers moving. You know, you remember that Nationwide Arena and the Crew Stadium were both supposed to be down here, and the voters defeated that like three or four times before they went on and built the arena privately and built Crew Stadium privately up at the fairgrounds. So this parcel of land was sitting here just outside of where the penitentiary sat. And as you said, on that hot August day, it was just an old brownfield where they had stored things from the penitentiary. And people kept trying to move us around town. I mean, I had to go out and look at sites out east, where Easton is. They looked at sites a little bit at Grandview. We looked at some sites in South Columbus. They even took me up to Polaris and wanted to look at sites there. And I said, I don't think that a Franklin County ballpark is going to be built in Delaware County. Just saying, I guess anything could happen.
Right.
So it kept coming back to this 8-acre tract of land here in the Arena District. And as we kept, you listen to everyone's talk and everyone's opinion, and you'd go with the pluses and minuses, and we kept circling back to here to where we finally got a consensus. If the Clippers move, this is where they should move.
So I recall that there was a pretty comprehensive study done.
Yes.
And the voices of a lot of stakeholders went into determining what was the best place to move to, and then how do we make use of the land that Cooper's on right now. It's been a lot of work went into this park being here, and it's been a great move, to say the least. It's been a success by anyone's measures.
Way above our expectations.
You know, it was still, yeah, it's, you know, you went through a, who would have thought during your career, you went through a pandemic that impacted professional sports, collegiate sports across the board.
Yeah, you know, and when new places open, there's usually a honeymoon period of 3 to 5 years. Like I said, we're about to start the 16th year here, and last year we were second in the nation out of 120 teams in attendance. So the love affair with the community and the Clippers has not lost its luster. It actually keeps on growing and sustaining itself. And to have that kind of continuity over 16 years is really almost unheard of in any industry.
You know, baseball goes with summer barbecues. Baseball seen as America's pastime. You know, we talked, we had lighthearted conversation around a hot dog, you know. Who doesn't know, take me out to the ballpark and buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if I ever, you know. Who, I mean, that is what baseball is. Mm-hmm. How do we keep that in a 2.0 world? How do we, you know, when you're challenged by esports, you're challenged by, there's so many entertainment options.
Yeah, I think that part of that, that's what part of what baseball has realized, that they were having a problem with the pace of the game and the length of the games. You know, if you try to watch a game on TV, it was a good 3.5 hours. If it was Yankees Red Sox, it was over 4 hours. And certainly the concern was of losing some people. So the pace of play initiatives have been introduced to try to address some of that, to keep a better flow, a better pace, you know, maybe a shorter time period that people might watch it. You know, it was always disheartening when you saw families leaving with their kids in the sixth inning because it was already getting late, and now they're staying till the end. So I think some of those things have helped, you know, catching attention spans is, as you said, it's very difficult these days. But, you know, baseball is a very casual game. It's got the natural breaks. You can talk, you can walk around. And I think that, you know, having a facility that people enjoy coming to, it's easy to get to, keeping prices affordable. You know, I think it will translate to the next generation.
Will there ever be changes, or are there changes in the game of baseball around traditions such as the seventh inning stretch?
Not yet. I don't see that happening.
No, I mean, they keep trying to improve, like I said, shorten the game on the field, but you know, things like your first pitch, your ceremonial seventh inning stretch, your take me out to the ball game, those things are so tied into the American fabric, I don't see those changing.
Let's talk about community engagement, community ownership, newer generations that may not have the history of the Clippers, people that may not realize that the Clippers is not a privately owned enterprise, and there's reasons why the ticket prices only increase $3 for a general admission. That's very intentional actions of the leadership of the Clippers. That is, you know, even in the design of the ballpark, it is a very kid-friendly ballpark. It's stuff for kids to do all around the ballpark. But talk a little bit, either one of you, about how do we engage fans in the local community to foster their support of the team. That's vital.
Well, you know, all of that has really changed. I mean, 20 or 30 years ago, you would look upon the hometown newspaper and the radio stations for getting the word out. But social media has changed all of that. And young people are more engaged in their phones than in reading magazines and newspapers and things. So, you know, Mark and his crew, to that regard, that's where you have to go. And they tell you that when a family sits down around their kitchen table and they talk about things to do as a family, you have to be one of the first three things that comes to mind of what they want to do, which is one of the reasons we understand that moms are so important. You know, the ballpark needs to be clean. It needs to be family friendly. The restrooms need to be accessible. And if mom is okay coming to the ballpark, she's also okay then if her kids or her family comes and she doesn't attend. So that's a never-ending battle that you try to stay in front of. And as you said, I mean, every year there's just more and more choices that people get to make of how they're going to spend their entertainment dollar. And it's how we spend all of our time trying to make sure we stay at the forefront of that.
Mm-hmm. What is our relationships with the schools and our local wide YMCA, YWCA, what is our relationship with those groups, the summer camps?
Well, we do. We do a lot with them. We have a lot of summer camp outings. We have a huge program with Safe Light in the Columbus Library that gets families to use their library card. And if they do that, then they qualify for Clipper tickets that you can get at all 23 branches of the Columbus Public Library. They were so happy with the program last year that it's already starting to reach out into the suburbs. Both Hilliard and Upper Arlington have signed on this year. You know, we've done a couple of test programs with the Columbus Public Schools on trying to increase attendance. So we did a test program a couple years ago with selected schools. And according to school officials, we increased attendance in that 6-week period about 75%. And they also got Clipper tickets. So we use tickets and the players as a mythology to try to help the community and move this forward and do some important initiatives. Yeah, we host a lot of fundraisers for the Arthritis Walk and charities around town. We're one of the big sponsors of the Miracle League of Dublin, which is a artificial field for kids that are severely handicapped. They're so handicapped that they need a buddy to try to help them get around the bases. The buddies all wear Clipper shirts, and we have those kids down for a game or two during the year. We actually go up to Dublin one time with our promo team, our hot dogs, our mascots, and give them the Clipper experience at their field so they can really feel special on a day. So we try to get as much Clipper engagement and activity as we can. You know, we don't get to all the groups. The Buckeye Ranch is another group we interact a lot with. So we take a lot of pride in that. We keep trying to expand that program.
I know you've always been good to our veterans.
Yes.
And having recognition and events for our veterans and our first responders as well. So I want to credit the leadership for that.
Thank you.
Because that means a lot to our community.
And those people mean a lot to all of us.
Yeah. Very much. I know our seniors each year. That's one of the Office on Aging's most popular events, when they get to come out and get a box lunch and a water and take in a ball game.
You have to come out and help us pack those 1,500 box lunches we have on that day, Ken.
Okay, you heard that. I got to come help pack some box lunches for our seniors. I usually, I've been there a number of years for that event. It's a great event.
It is.
Event for our seniors. Am I allowed to talk about the Savannah Bananas? Okay.
Didn't know.
I'm the host, but I had that, copyrights and such. And that's a big deal.
Harlem Globetrotters of baseball, the Savannah Bananas.
For our podcasters, what is it? Is it the equivalent of the invisible basketball if we make that connection with the Harlem Globetrotters to baseball? Is baseball and tricks?
Yes.
And people walking on stilts. You might see anything, right?
Right. Guy coming up with his bat actually on fire. He's hot.
Yep. A fan catching a foul ball and could be an out.
Wow. Okay. We're pretty fortunate that to have something unique like this to come to Franklin County. They can go anywhere. I understand.
Yeah. This is their second year of a worldwide tour, and we're the only new city this year that actually got 3 dates. And also for the first time, they stepped into the major league market. So they're going to 6 major league cities one day only. They've already done Houston. They'll actually be at Cleveland sometime in August. But they're coming here in May, and you know they have all the grandstand seats, and they've had a ticket lottery. And if we've got a capacity of 10,000. So for the 3 nights, that's 30,000 total tickets max. They had 170,000 ticket lottery requests for those 30,000 tickets.
Wow, that's gonna be a big deal. The residents of Franklin County, when they take in sporting events, they like to win. like to go to games. It's a lot more funner to attend the sporting event when the scoreboard at the end says the home team won. What is going to be the quality of the product that will be stepping on the field for opening day here at Huntington Park? What kind of is there optimism in the air?
Well, there's always optimism in the air. The problem is everybody wants to win. And the problem is these are human beings and they have a tendency to get hurt. You know, we were decimated last year because when we came north, the five guys that we thought were going to be our starting pitching, three of them ended up in Cleveland within the first 2 weeks of the season. So you just kind of roll with the punches. I agree with what you're saying. Everyone associates winning with having a good time. And you see that with Ohio State football. But they play a lot less games, so the winning is more crucial on that individual Saturday. We play 150 games. We play 75 at home. I want us to be competitive. I want us to be in the game. But we realize we can't win the game every night. Mm-hmm. So we offset that by trying to make sure that everybody has a good time, that we include everybody in the evening. And I think one of the things our staff gets a lot of accolades for, I think we might be the only facility in town that welcomes people when they come into the ballpark, has friendly ushers and people that serve them throughout the game, and then actually go stand at the gates and they're leaving and thank them for coming. And it gives you a really good feeling in your heart to see all these people leaving with their families that have had a good time. So we really hang our hat on that, but we do want to win. We've won 11 Governor's Cup championships in our 48 years, which is more than anybody else in the history of AAA baseball. And the next club behind us has won 10, but they didn't do it in 46 years, they did it in 76 years. So our record has been pretty darn good for the time we've been here as the Clippers.
Great. Are there any capital improvements that fans will see when they come in versus last year?
No, not really. We're an outdoor facility in a temperature climate that has four seasons. We take a lot of pride in fans looking at the ballpark and saying, how old is this? This looks brand new. We spend a lot of time on painting and cleaning and power washing. You know, we've got that 8-acre footprint that doesn't allow us to do an awful lot of expansion, but the ballpark looks pretty darn nice.
Pretty nice, huh? And with the help of robots.
The robotic mower.
The robotic mower.
Robotic lawnmower.
The robotic lawnmower is pretty cool. Podcasters, it's pretty cool thing to see. Some people have those though. More and more residents are buying those, and it just goes out and does its thing and go parks itself when it's done. The turf is relatively new. It was replaced a few seasons ago.
In 2018, for our 10th year, when we hosted the AAA All-Star Game and the National Championship Game.
How long does turf, if well taken care of, which is the case here?
About 8 to 10 years.
8 to 10 years. I'm a sports guy, but I don't know behind the scenes. Is tobacco still popular? Chewing tobacco still popular in baseball?
It's not allowed at our level.
It is not allowed.
Yep.
Okay.
At our level.
Sunflower seeds are allowed.
Very popular.
And they are messy.
You see the dugout at the end of the game.
They are messy.
Folks, sorry, I was going to ask. I was going to, sunflower seeds were next on my list. I was going to, do players buy their own sunflower seeds?
How many tons of sunflower seeds?
Facts that you can only get here on Talk of the County when talking with leadership of the Columbus Clippers. How much we spend in sunflower seeds a year?
Well, help, Adam.
I'd say a little over
3,000 bags.
Oh, bags
or pounds?
I was going to say dollars.
$3,000 in sunflower seeds.
That's a
What's
lot
the of brand stuff. Of choice? Is it the Big League Sunflower Seeds?
Chinook is our current brand.
Chinook sunflower seeds.
We're talking off camera. Is that allowed on a podcast?
Yes. That's the beauty of it. Okay. We can talk off camera if we need to. Bubblegum.
Double bubble.
I can give you that in pounds. We just ordered about 60 pounds.
65 pounds, yep.
65 pounds of bubblegum. Mm-hmm. Flavor of choice.
We got all flavors.
Which is one for all flavors.
Mm-hmm. Got sugar-free, too.
Mm-hmm. And sugar-free. That's got to have nice teeth.
We're always watching for them.
Got it.
And here's one for you. How many baseballs do you think we go through a game?
A game?
Or a season?
A season? I would think you probably go through about...
How many dozen?
Oh, I was going to say 15,000 baseballs in a season.
Mm, yeah, 1,000 dozen or so. Yeah. Pretty good guess, sir.
I watch enough sports and realize how the ball would get scuffed up and need to be replaced. Or knocked in the stands. Because fans catch a lot of baseballs. You hope you got a good year. But foul balls go in the stands too, though.
Oh, yeah.
But you got really nice netting here.
We
have some of the best netting in the country podcasters at Huntington Park. We catch a lot of balls that way.
You kind of have to.
Fan protect, safety is key.
You have to kind of protect the fans from themselves. There's so much distraction today when you've got kids with you, you've got cell phones, you're trying to take pictures. And that ball comes off that bat that fast. So, yeah, that netting that we've extended, we did that in 2019. That's been a godsend.
Since I'm going to go back to marketing. What's the official baseball bat of the Columbus Clippers?
There really isn't.
Each player decides what bat.
There's 15 different companies that are licensed, but there is one licensed company in Central Ohio. Phoenix Bats. Out of Plain City is one of baseball's official licensed bat manufacturers.
Yep. They do tours. It's worth checking out.
Got to get that information to experience Columbus. Go on a bat tour, see bats maybe. The design of Huntington Park. Is there any other ballparks that inspired the design of Huntington Park? Or it's just original.
When we sat down and we talked about it, we wanted to kind of preserve the history of some of the iconic ballparks. So, you know, our right field wall is our mini green monster. It's 22 feet tall. The green monster in Fenway Park in Boston is 37 feet tall. You stand out on Nationwide Boulevard and you look into the ballpark underneath the big scoreboard. They have the same experience in San Francisco. I think it's called Oracle Park now. Our center field backdrop raises and lowers. When you're at a Clippers game, you always see it up. But when we go on the road, we lower that backdrop so you have beautiful views into the ballpark from Neil and Nationwide. Mm-hmm. The only other city or the only other ballpark in the country that does that is the backdrop at Staten Island. They lower it so you can see the New York skyline. Then in left field, that big three-story brick building, that's our tribute to Camden Yards in Baltimore. And then the little bleachers on top of the roof up there, that's like sitting on the rooftops at Wrigley Field. So we tried to take some of the features of some of the iconic ballparks and mix them into what we want Huntington Park to be.
All right. What's the most popular concession item at the ballpark and gross sales?
Still hot dogs.
Still hot dogs. What about brats? Is brats a selective thing? Not really. That's a newer thing in baseball.
I mean, we sell a decent amount.
We sell a lot of popcorn.
Nachos.
We've got vegan items and stuff. I mean, once again, the food tastes of the American public are ever changing. So you try to make sure that you've got options that can fit in all categories. We've got some gluten-free items now. We've got salads. You just try to accommodate everybody as best you can.
Yeah. I saw the Tokyo Giants. Talk about diversity in food at a ballpark.
It was a little bit of everything.
Okay.
A little bit of everything. Hot dogs, of course, but a whole lot of other different things.
Yes.
Ken, we always like to ask questions like, beat your mountains. What you know? Because we want to get a little bit of inside information.
So, what's your question?
Do you like beaches or mountains?
Probably beaches.
Okay. What about you, Mark?
Beaches, all the way.
Beaches. I'm here in Ohio, of course. I want to see the beach.
Exactly. You got to leave Ohio to see either a beach or a mountain.
So that's why I want to get away to see a beach.
I mean, I got an anthill in my backyard.
And I can't be, we're not even hilly. So it would be mountains. what does Ken Schnocke do in the off season?
Work on the next season.
That's an answer that's from somebody that's been dedicated to the game of baseball.
Yep.
What about you, Mark?
You know, probably same answer, really. There are people who always say, what do you do during the offseason? They think we go home and wait till spring training. And really, that's when a lot of the big work's getting done. So, but, you know, certainly enjoy our personal time, try to get away, travel a little bit, and enjoy some of the things this the city has to offer, concerts and restaurants and all nine yards.
I can safely say that this is my 48th year with the Clippers, and I can look you in the face and tell you that I don't think I've ever worked a day in my life. That's the advantage of having a job that's also your hobby and your avocation.
You found your passion.
Found
your passion. Something in the neighborhood of passion is music. What is Ken Schnocke's favorite song?
I'm an oldies guy, so we have Dinner on the Diamond, and the young staff hates it because I bring in these acts and they have no idea who they are. I mean, the first group we did was The Association, Wendy, Cherish, Never My Love. We have The Lovin' Spoonful coming this year, so I'm a 60s guy, and I just love that music. I listen to 60s on 6 on Sirius Radio. I'm pretty good friends with Flash Phelps, the morning host, so that's my cup of tea.
Buy your tickets to see Lovin' Spoonful.
Lovin' Spoonful. Do you believe in magic? Do you know that?
Yes.
Okay, there you go. You've heard of that.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Okay.
So, Mark, what about you? What's your genre?
Yes.
I'm a classic rock guy.
Kiss and Cheap Trick.
Probably my two favorite bands. I was at the final Kiss show in New York City at Madison Square Garden in December. And that was a great experience with one of our former players who when I met him here, he was a young guy, but a big classic rock fan. That was his favorite band that he got from his father. And we ended up staying in touch and ended up going together because we said we always would if that ever happened. And I like all music though. I've listened to anything and everything really. But if I lean one way, it's classic rock.
Where did my closing question? How did the Clippers and Abel become married together?
Well, at the old ballpark when it was Jet Stadium. Actually, even Redbird Stadium, there was an old fire bell that was mounted on top of the roof, and there was the press box was up on the roof. And every time that the Redbirds or the Jets won a game, the little clubhouse, the little press box attendant would come out on the roof and ring the bell. So when we created and we remodeled what became Franklin County Stadium, the fire department had the bell, gave it back to us. So we actually took that bell and mounted it at that point in time in Dysart Park. And it now actually sits out in the concourse at Huntington Park between the left field building and the Donato stand on the third base side. So out of that, we came up with the song Ring Your Bell and Hometown Heroes. You got to have a two-sided hit when you do a record. And we started with the Victory Bells. And in the old place, we really, really had it rocking. Now, we've stepped away a little bit from that, but we've actually started to bring it back. And every Sunday, we now give the first 500 kids get a victory bell when they come into the ballpark. So that's a classic promotion that we've done over the years. And some of those playoff games at the old facility when we'd hand out 10,000 victory bells, the clamor and the noise, it just drove the visiting team crazy. It was really cool to see.
Is the bobblehead a thing of the past, or would there be any bobblehead giveaways? What would be the best giveaways at Huntington Park this season?
No bobblehead giveaways this year. Not a thing of the past, but we try to not, really overdo it. Try to keep a little more special. Giveaways, the bells for kids on Sundays are real popular. We are working on a couple other things as part of the tied into some of the promotions we have on the schedule right now. There'll be a few still to come.
Getting some fans, some towels, I'm assuming those kind of things are popular with the fans. Baseball trading cards.
Still happens.
Still happens.
Yep.
As we conclude, for our listeners, talk about some of the names that people will recognize that stopped through and wore a Clippers uniform. Just a few.
Well, I mean, the Yankees of the early 90s, when we were with them, Derek Jeter, Mariano Rivera, Andy Pettit, Jorge Posada, Bernie Williams, Gerald Williams. And then as we got started at Huntington Park with Cleveland, Corey Kluber, Carlos Santana.
Francisco Lindor.
Francisco Lindor, yeah. Quite a few.
You also had Prime Time.
We had Prime Time. We had Neon Deion back at the old ballpark.
I saw a picture of him in a Clippers uniform a few days ago. I don't know where I was looking at. It's like on my phone, of course. So Prime Time was here. When he would
step into the batter's box, he'd flip his bat upside down, and with the knob of his bat, he'd draw a dollar sign in the batter's box, and they'd straddle that for his swing. True story.
I believe. Special athlete for sure. And the Clippers had a lot of them, like the names you just read off.
Yeah.
So
yeah, Michael Brantley was another good name, and quite a few guys. The fans have been very lucky in Columbus to see some major league players before they got big, to see them develop and put on their finishing touches here, and then go up and make their mark at the major league level. That's a pretty neat experience to have. And you know, a lot of these kids are very accessible down here, so endless pictures of families that they've taken with Carlos Santana and Michael Brantley and Corey Kluber and Shane Bieber and stuff. Those are memories that are made and they last forever.
All right, we are wrapping up. I'm glad to say that opening day here in Huntington Park will be here soon, and I hope that it's a sellout. So listeners of Talk of the County, turn out, support your Franklin County Columbus Clippers. And in closing, be yourself, because no one else has time to. Thank you.